Start.
Welcome to Creating Cash Flow for October 19th, 2025. Sheila, are you ready?
Hi. Yeah, I'm
Hi.
here.
Awesome. So Sheila is a cash flow cat, and her victory is this year I have expanded my paid work into stage management. So you're currently earning money as an actor, a stage manager, and a marketing director. And you've worked on 17 plays so far this year. Congratulations. The year's
Thank
not
you.
even over. That's a lot of plays, a lot of
That's
work.
a lot. That includes two summer festivals. But yeah, that was a lot.
A lot. Yeah. Okay, so you are preparing to pitch your freelance marketing services to a theater company that you've been working with for a few years as a volunteer. And you're like, I think this pitch is strong on steak, what I call steak, and could use more sizzle. So how do you do that? And you wrote a beautifully organized, very clear, steak heavy. I mean, when I say steak, I mean like the meat. This is the meat. This is what I've done, and this is what I can do. And you list it all out. Campaign strategy and social media, press and communications, email marketing, community outreach and partnerships, production sponsor, and your achievements that you helped your previous theater company with, or no, this theater company with ARC. Like, I've done this, I've done this. And then you had your proposed services as a funded, meaning paid, marketing director. And you wrote continue and expand all marketing responsibilities listed above, develop paid digital ad strategies to supplement organic reach, create and manage a seasonal content calendar for theater productions, measure and report on campaign effectiveness like ticket sales, engagement, donor growth, collaborate with the steering committee to align marketing with fundraising and then audience development goals. And then you wrote down, like, this is how I've been compensated at other places. Here's what I propose to options for this theater company. And then you wrote a closing. ARC has established itself as a vital artistic collective in the Bay Area. By formalizing, meaning paying for, the marketing director role, ARC can professionalize its outreach, deepen its community connections, and ensure its productions reach the audiences they deserve. I look forward to continuing to serve ARC in this capacity and helping the company grow into its next chapter. Okay, so the reason I read that is I just wanted to give folks an example of, like, the stake. I continue to expand all marketing responsibilities listed below. Okay, let me try that again. Continue and expand all marketing responsibilities listed above. You're sort of stake is telling the how you do what you do or what you do, just the facts of the matter, which is fine, but we're going to get into right now why the sizzle is so important. Because you're persuading this document, a proposal is a document of persuasion, not a document of facts. You need to have the facts in the proposal, but that's not the point of it. It's not a report. It's a persuasion because right now they are not paying and you would like to persuade them to pay and you would like to persuade them to pay you. So there's sort of a two-pronged thing. You should pay and you should pay me. And this proposal is here to paint the picture of why you should pay me to do this and how you will benefit from paying me to do this for you. So the first little, this is, I'm just addressing this one little tiny thing here at the end. You say, I look forward to continuing to serve ARC in this capacity and helping the company grow into its next chapter. Now, because you've already been volunteering for this theater company in this capacity, when you wrote that, my brain did a little like, wait, what? Because it's like, what it sounds like what you're could be saying here is like, well, if you don't do this proposal, I look forward to just continuing to volunteer as usual. And if you're going to continue to volunteer as usual, then please do. We don't need to pay you. So the languaging right there, I hope this aligns with your vision for expansion, and I would be happy to. You would be happy to, but take out the word continuing, because that implies business as usual. And right now, business as usual is they're not paying you. Am I correct in that?
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah. So it's the word continuing. Okay. So you've done so many good things. They need all the things you've done. You're completely capable of doing the things. Why should I pay you instead of just getting someone else to volunteer and do the things you've been doing if you don't want to volunteer and do it anymore? Paint the picture of how my theater company is just going to reap the rewards of this financial investment.
This is a good challenge for me, and it's a bit of a sticking point because, as you say, I have been doing this work as a volunteer.
Yeah.
So they've been getting the rewards without paying for it. I have expressed that I'm not in a position to be able to continue to volunteer, just fiscally, I'm not. Couple of my colleagues have actually have backed me up and actually encouraged me to say, yeah, no, the company really needs to pay for marketing. They pay actors and directors for the productions, but they don't pay administrative staff, and a lot of the administrative work is done by the steering committee, which is more or less a working board of directors. I don't know that they could get somebody else to volunteer to do this work. This might be also veering into a mindset question for me. Because I have passed the point that I can continue to volunteer. So the production that we are working on now, they've more or less already agreed to make marketing a paid position. They just need me to submit a proposal.
So they're going to do it.
Yes, and I think it will, I am anticipating it coming down to haggling over the rate.
Okay.
And I also believe, especially for a marketing position, the persuasion part is really important because that's what marketing does. It's persuade you to buy something. Or another way to put that is to persuade you why this product or service meets your needs.
Okay, so we have a couple of things. We can talk about the money part, okay? But first, let me conclude kind of what I was talking about before, because in your particular situation, if they're like, okay, we should definitely pay for this, and now it's just going to be about can they pay enough, or do you have to eliminate some services to fit in financially? That's your particular case. But for everybody else listening to this, when you have, let's say, there's kind of two scenarios. One scenario is like you've joined this theater company, you notice that like nobody's doing marketing, and you're like, I could do the marketing. I'm going to make a proposal, to persuade them to have me be and pay me to be the marketer. And in that case, you would orient painting the picture of the sizzle to what they're going to gain by having someone do this and do this and do this, and it will do this and it will increase this and it will have an effect on ticket sales like this. And you paint them that picture of what it will be like to have a person on board. In your case, Sheila, you've already had the position. So you've been doing all the work. So the sizzle for you is to paint if you were proposing this without them already thinking, okay, we're going to pay somebody for this. But still, I think this is, will help your cause if you include this in your proposal. You need to paint the picture of what they will lose if they let you go. If they can't pay you enough and they have, and so you kind of, what you do is you angle it towards, here's the thing. I want to stay on board. And I think it's the strongest move and investment for this theater company to keep me on board. Because if we can continue the wonderful work that we've been doing together, there will be consistency. That is how you can keep your consistency. And I don't want you to lose that. Because then, when you don't have somebody who really understands how to do the marketing and who's dedicated to the job, the marketing becomes inconsistent. And there's a little bit here and there's a little bit there. And when marketing is inconsistent, you also lose momentum. You lose people's attention. They think maybe the theater company kind of has gone away, or they don't hear from you for a while. And so this momentum that we have been building over however long you've been working for them, you'll lose that. And it's something that is valuable because it takes time to build it. So you'll miss out on consistency. So the consistency will decrease, and then the momentum will slow down. And then your voice will only be heard intermittently because it'll be done inconsistently when somebody has time to do it. And so you're losing the voice of the theater, which is what your marketing is. And we want your voice to be heard. But that takes consistency and it takes momentum. And then what will happen if you don't decide to dedicate and have someone here is you will overtax the rest of your staff or volunteers because you'll dole out the stuff that I've been doing to other people. And everyone is, you'll kind of spread the marketing job over people who are already doing other jobs. Now, if you're lucky enough to find someone who wants to step into my shoes and volunteer for the position, that's great. But there's going to be an onboarding process. So you're going to lose time and resources just getting somebody up to speed to continue the consistency and the momentum and the voice that I have been providing for the theater. You see how you're painting the picture of, oh, we're going to lose all of that. When you submit a proposal that's just about the facts, I know that you are here going, but read this. This is all the stuff you're going to lose. People don't do that. People barely read. And what you're asking them is to read facts and paint a picture for themselves. But that takes like a time and attention. And some people's brains just don't work that way. So you want to include even before the steak. The steak is boring. Steak is boring. It's just there to prove your point that you know what you're talking about. The sizzle goes before the steak because you got to get their attention of like, why is this so important? Why is this so vital? Look at the things that you will lose. And I don't want you to lose any of that because I care so deeply about this theater. So pay me. So you're like, I love the work that we've been doing. And I want it to continue. As you know, as I've said, the only way it can continue is if there's an investment in this work. But I think the investment is such a wise one, and it's going to pay off. And I really hope that you do decide to make it, because, and then you sizzle it up because, oh, I don't want you to lose this. We've built consistency. I don't want you to lose that. We've built momentum. I don't want you to lose that. We built a voice. I don't want you to lose that. I don't want you to overtax your people. And I don't want you to have to spend all this time onboarding a new volunteer who may or may not stay as long as I do or do the kind of work that I've done. So then everything becomes erratic and weird. So if you add that sizzle in, I think that will help this proposal.
Yes, I
That
think
make
so too.
sense?
Yeah,
Okay.
absolutely. When I submitted a precursor question last month about this, you rightly pointed out that I am also wanting to pitch to not just the theater company that I'm already working for, but other theater companies and to be able to stretch out into other industries, not just the theater industry. And so, with that in mind, I'm wondering if you also have thoughts on, like, based on what I've written about, these are all of the things that I can do for a theater company, how I might also paint that picture for somebody that I'm not working for already.
Yeah. And so a good question to ask is for everybody when you're looking like, what is the sizzle about the steak? So here's a fact. One of the things you can do for people is develop, like, okay, create and manage a seasonal content calendar for theater productions. So what? That's the question you ask. So what? Why is it important that you have a manage a seasonal content calendar? What happens if you have one? Oh, then this happens and this happens. What if you don't have one? Well, then this doesn't, nobody gets around to this and this goes out late and then you miss this opportunity. You so what? You have to tell them what they're missing and what they can gain. And it's not just what they can gain, but it's also what they're losing out on by not have, if they don't have this in place, oh my God, you're missing out this opportunity and you're missing out this way you can grow your audience and you're mi whatever it is. And you kind of, as an exercise, as you're kind of compiling this information, you go through each one. Because one of the achievements you said is you built ARC's consistent digital presence on Instagram and Facebook. So what? What does that mean? It's great that you did it, but what does it mean? Oh my gosh, well that, 50% more ticket sales happened after we grew our following and that translate like what happened because you did the thing? You, as a marketing person, understand why that's important. I don't understand why that's important. And if I'm just trudging along and everything seems to be going okay, you're the one who has to move me to be like, oh, this could be like this if I just hire you? Huh, I haven't thought about that before. So tell me. So, one of the achievements is you negotiated media sponsorships and you managed external vendor relationships. So what? What good came of that? Why did you even do this?
So one of our media sponsorships is with our local NPR affiliate radio station, and they have the number one market share in radio listeners. So our message, our show promotion is getting out to the broadest reach on radio in our region.
Yeah, that's the sizzle. That's the sizzle. I negotiated media sponsorships. And what that means is I tapped into a whole other rich target market of people who now are hearing about our theater, the right demographic of people who go, because I reached out to the number one blah, blah, blah in the region. And I convinced them, or whatever you did, to give us free airtime as a whatever you did. But the why of it is like, oh my God, we broke into a whole nother rich vein of potential audience members. That's what I'm interested in. That's the
Especially
sizzle.
considering their target market is our target market.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what the partnership does. And there's more of those out there, and each one you tap into could bring more butts to the seats. Your proposal has to speak to my concern. My concern is our budget, but putting butts in seats is the main concern. Putting butts in seats and not running a deficit are my two main concerns. So all of this sizzle about the proposal is drawing back to that. And you can say up front, I realize that anyone running a theater, there's two major concerns above all else. One, it's not running a deficit, and two, it's putting butts in seats. All of the work I do supports those two things. Okay, now you have my attention. Now you paint the picture for me, and then you tell me all this stuff. Do you see how that works? You have to get my attention, paint the picture while you have my attention, and then go into the steak. And what most people do is they just start with the steak, and I don't even know why I'm being told this now. I'm like, do you even understand? Why are you telling me that media sponsorships, I need to put buttons in seats? Speak to me and my concerns. And that's what gets me interested in you and your concerns, which is getting paid. No one's interested in your concerns until they know that you're interested in my concerns. Just like in the service business, no one cares about what you do, how you do it, what your background is, until I know you understand me and my problem. Then I'm interested in you. But nothing you can say about you really moves me until I know that you see me. And that's the same with a proposal for work. It's, I see you, I understand what your concerns is are, and here's how I can help you with your concerns. And by the way, there is a difference in saying, you know, your concern is to stay on budget. No, the budget can be changed. The concern is running a deficit, because if they're spending more than they're making, they have to close the whole thing. It's deficit, not budget. That's just a subtle semantic difference, but very important as far as hitting them where it hurts. Deficit. Yeah, that means closure. A budget can be rearranged, and you don't really want to say the word budget when you're talking about give me money, please. Yeah.
No, this is so good. It's so good because I so often I feel like mentally I'm just jumping five steps ahead, and I think everybody in the room already knows these things, and we're already all speaking the same language, and I forget that I need to step way back and explain things that I feel like are rudimentary.
And it's not even so much that you have to explain them, because that's more steak. What you have to do is connect what you're talking about to their concerns. How does this put butts in seats? As long as you connect those two dots, everyone's like, great, great, I understand. Without even if they don't really understand what you're doing, they don't even need to know what you're doing. They just need to know that you're helping put the butts in seats. And as long as you keep connecting those dots and showing proof, and oh, look, we did this and that translated into this, everybody's happy and no one cares what you're doing. You can tell them if they ask, but you know, but you don't have to, ex they don't have to understand. You don't have to explain. You just have to connect the dots between return on their investment. The return on the investment. The translation into donations, ticket sales, or sponsorships. Basic three ways they earn money. You have to, this proposal is, you're going to give me this much money, but this is what I'm going to return to you.
That's great. Thank
Oh,
you.
cool. Excellent. Okay. So then, do you have any inkling of what they're thinking about as a budget?
I do, because I have access to the budget for the production that we're in currently. And I know what the rate is for the director for the play. I know what the rate is for the stage manager for the play. And I know that the marketing job is larger than either of those, because
Okay.
it starts earlier and it lasts longer.
Okay, you need to put that in your proposal. That's something they need. That's you painting the picture. The marketing job starts earlier, lasts longer, and takes more hours than this job and this job combined. Ooh, that's sizzly. It's showing them a picture that they can hold in their head. Comparisons are really good for that in marketing. It's sort of like you'll often hear people say, it's less than a cup of coffee a week, you know, because that's just like, oh,
Right.
that's something people can kind of grab onto mentally really quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So then what have you quoted the bare minimum you'll do it for? Have you padded it a little so you can negotiate?
In my mind, but not on paper, and not to the group. So I think the bare minimum as outlined in this pitch is the retainer at $1,000 a month flat fee. And it's a 3 month minimum for the production.
Okay. And how many hours are you going to work for that? Let's say they give you 1,000.
Ooh, I need to consult my other spreadsheet that has that breakdown.
Okay, so the lowest, okay, so option A you said was an hourly contract, $30 to $35 an hour for 25 to 30 hours a week.
A month.
Right. So on that one, the lowest hourly rate is $30 an hour. So if they're paying you $1,000 a month and we divide $1,000 by 30, that's sort of like 33 hours a month. But with the flat 1,000, you literally write 1,000 to $1,200 a month flat fee covering all marketing services. Don't say that. That means you will do everything they need for that much money a month. That could be 50 to 60 hours, and then you're only earning $15 an hour.
That's a great catch. Thank you.
Yeah. Because that's the first thing I thought. I'm like, oh, I'll give you the flat rate. Yeah. I mean, I think the flat rates are tricky. You have to be so. Two things. One, very knowledgeable of exactly the amount of time it takes you to do things, and very, very good at holding your boundaries around that and sort of adjusting the work so they feel they're getting what they need with you keeping within the retainer structure. Normally, retainers, like with lawyers or whatever, you pay the retainer, and then once they go over a certain amount, they bill you for the extra they
That's
work.
a good point. Yeah.
You know, so I pay Kate in advance a sum of money every month. And then at the end, at the like beginning of the next month, she's like, here's the extra hours I worked. And then I add that on. So each time I pay her once a month, but each time I'm paying her the flat rate for the current month and the extra that she worked. the month ahead. But the retainer is there for her to just know she's getting that money. She can count on it. And I know that I'm gonna need her for that amount of work for sure. And then, but the extra. So you have to be very, very good at knowing how to dial everything in. And with marketing, that's a squirrely business. There's just always things you can do in extra, and things always take much more time than that. So I'm not sure with either of these. My first question to you is, how do you keep it within 25 hours a month?
Let me think that through. So, first of all of the other positions are budgeted at a contract rate. So they're getting a flat rate for the production. The director is getting paid X amount, stage manager, actors, etc. The actors are all on equity contracts. And if we really want to dive into the weeds, then we get into how the equity contract breaks down into an hourly minimum wage, because now we're all under AB5 and we have to be employees and we have to meet minimum wage laws. But based on all of the other positions already just being on a contract for a flat rate, I am leaning towards the option B retainer model, where it's a monthly flat rate. I think that's easier for everybody to comprehend. It keeps the marketing director position that I'm proposing within the same structure as the other positions. I wanted to say thank you, Kate, for putting that Glassdoor reference in there. I have also referenced Theater Communications Group puts out industry fees. So I've used that a lot as a reference. And you're right. I do need to keep really strong boundaries around my time.
Well, let me ask you this, because this might be a better way around into this conversation, is all the things that you've listed here of things that you already do and have been doing for them, how much time does that take you?
I don't know that I've written up a summary for that. I do know that it is comparable to my last employee position for a different theater company that was 25 to 30 hours a week.
Yeah, that's what that looked like. That looked like a lot of hours a week. And you're quoting hours a month. You're quoting like a weekly amount of hours a month. And so the trouble with the proposal as it's written is you're showing them what you already do, and technically you're going to cut back on this stuff. So you don't want to say that. What you want to say is, here is a proposal of what I can do for you, marketing, for a flat rate of this much a month. And why don't you quote 1200, and then you can always knock the 200 off of that and just be 1000. But give yourself something to negotiate if they come back at you. Yeah, never, never, never quote the rate you want, because people will always think you got wiggle room. They're going to assume it. So I and my guess is what you've been currently doing for them as a big-hearted volunteer is not what you're going to be able to sustain for them as a paid employee, because you want to go out and do this for other people as well.
Yes.
So you're going to have to make that, like, this is what you're buying. This is the deliverables for this amount. And you can
Yes.
put down, this is what I won't be able to attend to for that amount. And you can get somebody else to do that part of it. Or we can, negotiate my rate and take more hours on if you want that included. However, if they bring someone in to do this little chunk that you're no longer doing, that person cannot report to you. You need more money if you're managing a second person.
Yeah.
No, okay, because that's going to be more hours. And that's what you
Yeah.
say to people. Oh, well, great. Well, we'll bring someone on and then you can work with them. And you're like, nope. Because if I manage them, that takes hours away from the deliverables that I can do for you. So I can manage them, but then we'll have to cut back on what I'm doing. That's you painting the picture of what is happening here. And it's really important to have those discussions when it's the scope, it's called scope creep, where your job
Yep.
descriptions that are
Very
given.
familiar.
And you have to point out, oh, that's going to be more time. So I'll have to take something off the plate. What would you like me? And that's a great thing to throw back. What would you like me to take off?
Okay.
Yeah. And I would say to them, as a volunteer, for the last, how many years have you been volunteering?
Two.
The last 2 years, my volunteer time has been between this amount of hours and this amount of hours a month, which is great. It's great. I loved doing it, but I can't anymore. So we're going to have to bring that down and have it translate to money.
Yeah.
Okay. But I really wanted to point that out, that there's, you have to be specific. And not vague, and not have language in here that sort of makes it sound like to someone who's just skimming that, oh, she's just going to get a continue and we're going to pay her $1,000. Because that's not actually what's going to happen.
Okay. Yeah,
Yeah.
thank you.
Yeah, you're totally welcome, Kate.
Sometimes it's helpful on a proposal, and I'm not seeing your document, so you may have done this, at the top to have like four bullet points and title it executive summary. For
I
those
don't have that in this
skimmers,
document. Yeah.
and that sets you up, as a basis for further conversation, or it tells them where to look if they're interested in those things at the top.
Okay, that's great. Thank you.
And you could probably like Google examples of proposals for marketing work for blah, 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 and just sort
Yeah.
of see. Yeah.
Okay. Well, this
Yeah.
is fantastic. This points out which parts I need to spend a little more time fine-tuning. Yeah.
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 Yeah. And it's just super important, especially when you're working for a flat rate, that you don't go over your time. Every time you go over your time, you lower your hourly rate.
I
Yeah. Yeah. So then part of this is also picking and choosing what is going to move the needle the most for this theater and have them feel like they're getting something from you for the 35 hours a month or whatever. Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
All right, that's great. Thank you so
You're
much.
welcome. And when you go out to new theaters that you haven't worked for before, I would have option A, which includes this much, and then option B, which is like the full Monty. Like,
Yeah.
here's like the gold standard. And then they
That's
can
like
choose.
when I go to the drive-through car wash and they have option A, option B, option C, and A is the bare minimum, and B has a couple more perks, and C is the full package. Yeah.
Exactly.
All
Because
right.
then they get to pick. And when they pick, they know why they're not getting some of the things right up front. It prevents scope creep. No one's going to go through the car and go, why didn't you wax it though? Wasn't waxing just included? Nope, you read the sign.
Yeah. Okay.
Good job. Good
Thank
job.
you so much. Thank you.
They are so lucky to have you. Wow, you did a lot of work for them.
Yep.
Yep. And now, if they are like, you know what, can't do it, thank you, somebody needs to write you a glowing letter of recommendation. And I would have you get, I would have you get it from as many people as you can there, but you want two things. One, you want a glowing testimonial for your freelance work. And two, you want a genuine letter of recommendation that you can use for just applying for any job. Those are two different things. A testimonial from a client versus a letter of recommendation. But you should definitely get both because boy, have you given a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's
Thank
great.
you so much.
Yeah, and it's okay to decide you can't do it anymore. It's okay. Totally. Yeah, it's good. Yeah, thanks, Sheila.
Thank you, Christine.
Yeah. Eliana?
Hello.
Hello, Eliana Pipes, Cashflow Kitten, coaching people on using the software. You need a budget. YNAB. Okay, so you wrote a proposal a couple weeks ago, sent it out as an email, crickets. And you're like, maybe I have the wrong email. So, yeah. Yeah, any email you can get at this point, send it to the CEO. Like, I don't know, like, hi, I'm just trying to get it to the right people. Hope you can pass it down the chain. Yeah.
And can it be the same email? Like, obviously, I'll tweak
Oh,
the thing
yeah.
for the same
Well,
person, but
you would include it, like, you know who it needs to go to, right?
Or I know who I was trying to get it to.
Yeah, just include the email, and then your message above your email signature is, hi, I've been trying to get the email below to blah blah blah. The email, maybe it's wrong. Could you pass it down the chain and get it into the right hands? Thanks so much. Yeah. And then if you don't hear back, send it again. And then if you don't call, like, hi, I am trying. I mean, that might be the first thing you do. It's like, hi, I'm trying to get this to so and so. What's the email?
Got it.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. And you just have the energy of like, this is not a problem. Of course you can give me the email because I'm just doing great business here and I need to them following up on the thing and the whatever. Yeah, just have that kind of energy. Okay. And as a coach, you had a client book a three pack and used two of her three sessions, and it was great. And you just a great client, and you're taking the win. And I agree, take the win. And you're planning to raise your coaching prices at the end of the year, but you'd like to do a little what we call a cash grab before the end of the year. And you wanted to like post in the Abundance Bound community. But also, you don't have the emails of anyone who came to your mastery conversation with Abundance Bound. Now, this is for all of the talks you do in the future and anybody else who's doing a talk. One of the things you want to ask beforehand is like, hey, if I want to follow up with the people who attend, how is that? How do you do that? Do I give you something to send out to them? Do I get their email addresses? Or can I share a link in the chat during the talk where they could go sign up for my whatever? Yeah. And so you have every right to go back to Abundance Bound and be like, hey, can I get the things? Just ask. Just ask. Yeah, it's a very normal part of business. And you can say, like, if you don't want to give me the emails, I can have the thing I'd like you to send to them and you can just send it to them.
Okay.
Okay. So lately, you wrote, you've been toying with the idea of becoming a certified financial planner. Is that right? A CFP?
It's not a good, it's not the right idea for me,
No,
but
it's the
keep
wrong
thinking
idea
about
for you, which you
it.
wrote. I think it's the wrong idea for me, and I heartily agree. But just trying to brainstorm the way, and we'll talk about that more. Like, how do you get work outside of the arts? Your mentor suggested reaching out to someone who's on the same board of directors that also works at a large investment bank because he's very service-minded, knows the financial field, and could give me advice. I'm wondering if I should make that reach out now. Yes, as an exploratory conversation, or wait till I've done more research and have a clearer picture of what I might actually do. I think part of the talking is how you might find out, like, what, like, and so what you do want to do in preparation ahead of that conversation is clearly write out, these are my skills, these are my strengths. Like, I have this interest, I have this experience, and I have these skills and strengths.
Got it.
I just don't know how exactly to apply them to the field. Like, is there a position that sounds like it would be right for somebody like me who's very good at this and the teaching and the outward focus and all that stuff? Yeah. Certified financial planners, people who sit around and sell people stuff they don't need. Yeah. And that's not even the main reason why I crinkle my nose at that, is that that is something you then have to go get certified in. Like, can we find something where your skills and strengths and expertise can that you have can be used. That's for cash flow. If you want to change careers, by all means, go get educated. But if you're looking for money, it's like, well, what's the least I can do to make the money with what I have right now? Yeah. Okay. So this is really good. Okay. This is what you wrote. On a higher level, I'm not sure if I need a secondary stream of income or just a mindset adjustment or both. My creative career is going well, and I'm technically earning more than I need for my work as an artist. But I'm once again at a point where my runway is thinning, and I'm looking for ways to bridge the income until my writer's room hopefully restarts. But I'm feeling so fatigued and frustrated by this cycle, and I want better stories to tell myself. My last big job ended in May, and I've been living off the savings, which was the plan. I have enough runway in my corporation to run my payroll through January with enough expected new income to cover February, which is when my room will likely, oh, your writing room will likely, hopefully, reconvene. The show will do another season. I also have 6 months of income replacement fund, like emergency fund, that I would strongly prefer not to touch, but it is there. I'm noticing that I'm already been moving the goalposts a bit. Miata talks about how our stress levels are connected to the amount of our income that we know is secured. And typically, when I'm down to about 4 months of runway, I tend to get itchy. So this is coming right in schedule. But I still have that 6 month fund, which for some reason is not bringing me proportional comfort. My concern is that even if I did become a certified financial planner or whatever, or even if I did have a year of financial runway instead of 6 months, I'd still find a way to feel worried. I know some of my worries are also influenced by the political and economic environment, and the show that you write on has been getting a lot of hate online for having a diverse lead. So every time I see the show advertised, there's a stream of negative comments that then fuels my concern that we won't come back. I'm looking ahead to the next decade of my life. After this past decade of earning on this roller coaster way, and I wonder if I'm just tired. I'm really proud of where my career is, and I'm excited by the projects I'm working on. And I do want to continue to give the bulk of my time to this creative and purpose-driven work. But I also want money not to take up so much brain space. How do I make peace with this fluctuating income? Ah, the age-old question, which we cannot talk about enough here, really. It just applies to all of our lives again and again and again and again and again. So you hit on a few really key things. If your mind is wired, especially if it's wired, this happens to everybody, but especially if your mind is wired in this way, no matter how much money you have, you can tell yourself a story about why it's not enough. We've talked about this before, not with you, but it's like, I could say, I'm going to put $100,000 in your bank account. And we can totally sit here and talk about how that's not enough. That's not even life-changing money, really, depending on your life. But, it's only going to last so long. Okay, $1 million. Well, taxes brings that down to like we can just chip away at it. And then what if this happens? And what if this goes away? And what, like, especially now, it's like, things go away, things become more expensive. Like, it's just like a roller coaster, like a wooden roller coaster, but now we're on steel. Now it goes faster. So then we seem to be born in early condition just to look at the negative side, the fear-based scarcity side. And it really is like the effort of adulthood to be like, how do I get my brain to just look at the trusting side and the positive side and the without being like delusional. No,
Yeah.
we like grounded trust. And it's done over and over again, like a practice, dragging your brain back. It's also done in lower stakes situations so then it can be applied to higher stakes situation, which is what we talked about in the last mindset call that we had on Friday is like, how do you, the whole opening I talked about was how do you actually build your trust in your own intuition and abilities and life. And so you are tired, by the way. You are tired. It's tiring being self-employed. It's tiring having income that fluctuates. It's tiring living through a recession, then a pandemic, and real estate bubbles bursting and strikes, and then fascism thrown in there just for fun. We are tired, and that's not just you and your lack of resilience. So it's about how can you move forward, understanding that you have a lower amount of energy than you would have if we didn't have these circumstances of 2025 plus fires, plus, like, come on. This life, just in general, is getting harder. So our own lives, we need to be a little more nimble to pivot. We need to be emotionally resilient, understanding that it is tough just being a human right now in America. And make decisions and operate from there. Not as a like depressive state, but just as like a realistic, okay, this is life. Nobody planned for it, nobody wanted it. We didn't even expect it. Nobody prepared us that, but here we are. Here we are. And you would like to be an artist and do purpose-driven work. And so, how do you do that? Also, being tired. You just do it being tired, by the way. But you don't expect yourself not to be tired. You don't tell yourself stories that make you more tired, but also that don't beat you up for not, why don't I feel on top of the world even though I have? Because the old me is like, oh shit, you've got 6 months in the bank of money? How'd that even happen? Like, whoa, man. Back then, I was telling myself if I only had 6 months in the bank, I'd be so happy. I'd be like, easy street. I have no cares in the world. Isn't it? We are so funny as humans. We are so funny. Yeah. And when you have your million in the bank, you'll feel the same way. How am I going to do this with only a million? Only you, that word only will come right ahead of that $500,000. I mean, $500,000 so quick. That million, only 5,000, only a million. I know people with that, and then that word only is right there. And it's like, are you kidding me? Yeah. So part of lowering the anxiety is putting it your life in perspective and keeping it in perspective. You have an abundant life by the standards of more than half the world. And it's good to remind yourself of that. Not in a beating yourself up way, people. Not, oh, I should. Just in a, oh my God, I would rather be here than other places. And I'd rather be here than I was 10 years ago. So that's part of it. One is putting it in perspective. The other, when your brain wants to like spin out, is to remind yourself, okay, life is definitely more challenging now, but I am a different person than I was 10 years ago. You have more resources, you have a bigger community, you have more skills, you have more wisdom, you have more experience. It's like if someone's going to make it through this, and that's important to tell yourself, look, if someone can make it through this, I can probably make it through this. No matter how bad it gets, because you have friends on whose doorsteps you could show up and have a roof over your head. That alone makes this survivable. And that's the third thing. Okay, so we have putting it in perspective holistically from the big picture perspective. We have reminding ourselves of who we have become and the skills and resources that we have now and that we're not the person we were 10 years ago. The third thing is not just thinking about money as our only resource. Because if your money suddenly went away, and let me remind everybody, this is all like numbers in a computer. And if we don't have electricity, how do we prove we have money? Yeah, it's real crazy when you think about it. Just saying. But should it all go away, or you not be able to get access to it, you have doorsteps to show up on. So that's community. And that's why you've been hearing that. That has been the buzzword of 2025, because people are trying to emphasize the point that if other resources go away, that we're very used to being isolatingly okay because I've got money and I can pay for what I need and what I get. Well, if the money goes away in some way, we're going to need each other. And you have a community, and you need to remind yourself of that. And you need to remind the other people in your community of that too. I tell my girlfriends, I'm like, look, you need five people you can call at midnight to come over to your house if you need something. I am one of those people. But who are the four other people? It's like getting really into this, reminding each other, but ourselves too, that we have community. Money isn't the only thing that we have. And reminding yourself that you'll figure it out.
Yeah.
That's where I come back to. I've mentioned this before. Sorry if anyone's listening has heard it, but when the pandemic first started, my husband and I stood in our kitchen and we looked at each other like, well, okay, main priority, stay in this apartment because this is, if we're going to have to hunker down through a global pandemic, this is a good place to be. And we're like, I guess if we have to use our retirement savings to stay here, that's what that money was for. And then we'll figure it out. Because what else were we going to do? If our priority was to stay in the apartment, we would have to pay the rent. If he loses his job and I can't make money, then we go through our savings and our emergency fund. And then I guess our retirement accounts, because is this going to last for a month or 3 years? Like, we didn't know. You just have to eventually decide, okay, I guess we'll figure it out. Not that we're going to be saved, not that we'll manifest it, but that we'll figure it out. Because at the end, that's all there is to do. It's even a privilege, though. It is a privilege to be able to figure it out. It's not a curse. Oh my God, now I have to figure this out. Well, the other option to that is you can't figure it out, which means you're trapped, which means you're doomed. So I'll take the privilege of having to buckle up and figure it out. And that's just where the muscles that we're building here come into play. You get real creative, you lean on community, you do things with your money that you may not want to do. But a lot of the money advice that is out there in the world was based on the very idealized version of what this history would be. And boy, it's a little different. And so you shouldn't touch this money and you should keep this money here. And this money's only going to grow at this amount of interest. It's like, oh, no. Just erase that chalkboard of all that information. It does not apply. So we're all going to have to figure it out. Retirement? I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe not. I'll have to figure it out. Okay. So I've said a lot. Where does that sort of put you with regard to how you were feeling about all of this?
It's really helpful. It's really helpful that like I am tired part was like, oh no. But helpful to like own and recognize. And I really appreciate the like, oh my gosh, I'm crying. I appreciate the like, don't expect yourself to feel like a not tired person. Like, that is helpful. And I also appreciate the like not using the fact that this is going well for me in a punishing way. Like a couple of my friends have been like, I've been like, maybe I should be a CFP and maybe I should do this. And my friends are like, could you just be happy with where you are? And I'm like, And they have a good point, but I think there is just the like, there is a measurable fatigue, even though things are going so well, of like having
am I going to be on eggshells once a year for the rest of my life? But I think that that's also not like, I've also seen the way that I didn't have the 6 months before and I have it now. So like, and it's making me feel better a little bit, even though it's not magic wand solving the problem. So I am feeling the way that like I am further ahead now than I was before. I'm feeling the way that like I've achieved things that I didn't think I could achieve and like gotten places I didn't think I could get. And I think at the end of the day, I'm just like so happy and proud about what my career is. And I wish that that meant that the money thing just wouldn't bother me. But the like, I'll figure it out if I have to is so helpful for the part of me that's like, what if the show doesn't come back? What if the room ends? So just the like, if the room doesn't end, I'll figure it out. Is really helpful because I think there's like, of course, the part of me that wants to like know exactly what I would do and like what other room would come up. And like, I know that that is certainty I cannot have. And so, all of that language is really helpful. And remembering the community is so helpful. And yeah, just I am tired is helpful.
Yeah. And the reason why I started with that is because if you continue to make your to-do list as if you were a woman who was not tired, then that's punishing. You have to plan your social events as a woman who's a little tired. You have to do your to-do list as a woman who's a little tired. And in other phases of life, it'll be as a woman who is grieving or as a woman who is sick. It's like you have to adjust things. Whereas in our culture, it's very much, no, you just are a robot and you just continue at the pace that is set and just watch people get sick doing that. Or you watch, it's unsustainable. So it's like, okay, I'm taught, maybe I need a little more, maybe. And what happens when you're tired is things get done, they just get done slower. Nobody in the world who hates that more than me. Trust me. Efficiency, productivity, that's what I'm having to unwind from. And I will for the rest of my life. It's so embedded in my system as the way I'm wired naturally, but also as the conditioning I got growing up. It's like locked and loaded. And I have learned how it's like, oh, yeah, it's not the greatest. And the key to the unwinding is slowing down. Because unwinding takes self-reflection. It is tiring, so it takes energy and it takes space so you can watch what you're doing and watch how you're doing things to do things differently. But I'm committed to that and I'm willing for my goals and my stuff to unfold slower. The kicker is you learn this shit when you're older and when you have less time and you go, oh shit, I have less time and the key is going slower. Fuck. Now I have to have a whole conversation with ambition and put that into another configuration because I need to go slower and I have less time now. It's like, what? It's really this life thing. It's crazy. But there's a lot of joy. And a lot of fun that can be had along the way if you take the energy away from beating yourself up and away from higher expectations than you can fulfill at this time. Ah, then you have it to put towards joy and fun and rest and revelry and all that good stuff that they don't want us to have. Be joyful. And so dragging your brain towards the celebration that you are even able to be here trying to figure this out, that is the journey of like you get an opportunity to try to figure it out. And it what if it's not figure outable? Like what if it's not figure outable? And for you, Ileana, specifically, one of the things you're likely going to be wrestling with your whole life is this certainty and security. Yeah, those are your. There is something like deeply embedded in you. I want to be certain and secure. I don't have. I want to be efficient and productive. I can be insecure. Like I can handle the insecurity. That's actually not as big of an issue for me. This the what security and certain even certainty. I can handle uncertainty. Being inefficient and not productive, I can't handle that. That just triggers. So, but these are
That's
your
so funny because
two.
I'm fine with being inefficient and unproductive.
See,
Okay.
we all have our things. We're all
Yeah.
wired differently. But those, and so you will be in a conversation with those two things for the rest of your life. And for those two things, certainty and security, it will serve you well to remind yourself of two things. One, that this could all go away. And two, that it is all going to go away
Yeah.
because you're going to die. And so you might as well live. And you might as well live with joy and kindness to yourself. This is all not important. And it's all out of your control. A lot of it. What's in your control is the texture of your life, not necessarily your bank account, not necessarily your security or certainty, but the texture of life that you can experience while you're on earth, that's what's more in your control. And the more you orient yourself towards that and remain focused and evaluate your success on that, based on that, the happier and more peaceful you'll be.
Thank you.
You're
That's
welcome. Yeah, you're bringing the big life questions, and I'm here for it.
I really
All I
appreciate
think about all day long are the big life questions. My husband's like, could we not today, maybe?
it.
Not wonder why? He's like, on your tombstone, it's going, she still doesn't know why.
Thank
Yeah.
you.
Okay. You're welcome. You're welcome. So those were two such big, juicy, wonderful questions. Thank you, Sheila and Ileana. The floor is now open. Denise, what's up? Denise, Celia, are you there? Are you gonna make everybody be tortured by my... Okay, good.
Hi there, how are you?
Good.
Good. Is it okay if I give a quick update?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this little girl had five kittens on Monday. I helped her birth. I removed the sac for two kittens.
Whoa.
Yeah, she's a trooper. So I want to thank you so much for your advice. Last time we spoke. So I reached out to Miata and asked some questions about, trauma, which were super, super helpful. And I had reached out to a former principal of a summer school that I did. I'm going to reach out to her again because I think what I'd like to see if it's possible is to somehow work as a vendor or a contracted employee with LAUSD, because I've been working with them for 26 years. And if I can get to kind of, I have a pension, if I can get to retirement age. So I've been like trying to figure out like how could I do that? If I could do some sort of literacy coaching remotely, that would be really ideal. So I'm going to reach out to this lady. She's very resourceful. She had mentioned becoming a vendor for somebody else that I knew. So I'm going to reach out to her again. I have not heard back from her. And that's kind of where I am with things. I just, I've been working my two jobs. I worked until 4 a.m. yesterday, and I really appreciated what you just said about like how we have to slow down. I have like been a bum today. I was supposed to go back out and do lift earlier. But it's like my body is telling me what it needs. And yeah, we get sick if we don't listen. So I'm just trying to do, even if it's a little bit, each week. I know there's so much more to do, but it's just kind of like a little bit at a time helps me deal with the sense of overwhelm.
Yeah, I wrote down forward movement. I'm so proud of your forward movement.
Thank you. Very, very last thing is MIT has a sustainable certification. I know you had mentioned certifications, and it's a year long, it's online, and it's like $13,000.
which is a lot better than 100,000 for Berkeley.
A lot better.
Yeah. So I actually have my eyes on that. I'm going to re-reach out to the man that I met in improv class who works in that field. I had reached out to him as well. I'm going to follow up, see what his thoughts are, and kind of like do some more research, like see if anybody on Reddit has anything to say. But I think if I had to paint a picture right now, it would be like trying to become a vendor contractor remotely, seeing if it's in any way, shape, or form possible with literacy. And thank you, Kate. And seeing about this certification because it looks really good.
The two things about the certification.
Yeah.
One is I'm curious, like, okay, so you go get the certification. Does MIT help you with job leads or like helping you transition into the actual workforce with this certification at all? Like, do they have a counselor that helps
Yeah,
graduate students?
my sister had mentioned that, and I think that's a really good question. I have to go back and look and see what they say about it. I seem to recall them saying something around placement or just kind of like, after completion kind of steps. But that is something I need to look into more. Like if I could call them and talk to somebody over there, that would be really helpful too. So I'm going to see if that's a possibility. What was your second question?
Well, I have two more things. So
Yeah.
if I was going to spend $13,000 on a certificate, I would want to speak to 13 people who have graduated already with that certificate
Yeah.
and what it has helped them do. Where are
Yeah.
they working? What does it help them do? Because, and I would do 13, and they should be able to put you in contact with those people or give you the alumni directory for those graduates. Because as I reach out to them, first
Yeah.
of all, you might find somebody who's like, oh, yeah, my company is always looking for people who, and if you graduate with that certificate, like you're already making, I want you to go into this certification already working on the back end piece.
Yes, absolutely.
Already from day one, because you might also go out there, go on LinkedIn and search for MIT, blah, 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 whatever that certification is, and find people who have it
Yeah.
or people who are looking for it for candidates. Because you might find an employer who's like, oh, if you go get that certification, or we'll pay, we'll help you, like, we'll give you a job now and help you go through it with the certification, or we can, best case scenario, we'll pay for you to have that training and then you can come work. Like, you don't know yet, and you didn't need to know because you don't just have $13,000 sitting
Thousand
in a
dollars to
box
throw
under your
away.
bed. So it's
Yeah.
like the research, as much as you did into the certification program, and this goes for anybody who's paying for education, you want to do an equal amount of research on, is this actually helping people out there? Or is it just a piece of
Totally.
paper?
That's excellent advice because I knew that I needed to do that kind of research, but I didn't know how, or it wasn't coming to me. So those are excellent places to go. LinkedIn, and I can do a search for it. I can just do a general search for it too and see what people have to say. And then try to contact them and ask for, like, hi, can you give me names of people who have done your program? So those are excellent, excellent, excellent. Thank you. Because I totally agree with you.
And I would ask MIT, so what industries or types of companies employ people who get this certificate? So they're going to be like, well, this sector and this company and blah, blah, blah. So then you take those and then you contact those actual companies, or you find companies in the sector that they say, like, I'm making this up. But if they're like, oh, a lot of solar businesses will hire people with this certificate, then you go to solar companies and you talk to their HR and you say, hey, I think it's HR you would call, and you say, hey, does candidates, if they had this, I had this certificate, would that make me a more appealing candidate for your company? And then you're hearing from people who are actually like, oh yeah, no, we don't look at that, or well, yeah, that would totally get you flagged and put on the, like, you want to know what the worth of this certification really is out in the real world. It's $13,000 according to MIT, but what does it really translate to in the real world? And you can find all of
Absolutely.
that out before you pay the first penny.
Absolutely. That's such great advice. Thank you.
You're welcome. And then, as you go through the program, you can start networking for work as you go through the program instead of going through the program and then waiting to do that at the end. That's what most people do. They get so excited about the potential. And so they start a program and spend all their time, and then they just dump out at the end and, like, oh, now what? Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent, excellent, excellent advice. Thank you so much. I'm going to do all of that. That's a perfect place for me to start this week. You know, perfect assignment for me to do this week. But
Excellent.
yeah, that's very practical, sound advice around because my, like I said, my sister had said the same thing. Like, you want to make sure that this is going to translate to you being able to have a career where you'll make more money. And I was like, I know. Because I had kind of like done backwards research. I think I had looked up the kind of areas that I was interested in and looked at what they required. And that led me to the MIT. But that's all very theoretical, right? So doing the steps that you said, like talking to actual people and multitasking to use that as an opportunity to network is excellent advice. So thank you so much for that.
You're so welcome. Kate?
You may already know these two things, Denise. I just wanted to put up a flag. If you choose to work as a contractor for LAUSD, how to, you want to know if that's going to add to or not add to your retirement benefits. Because if you're not an employee, that could change. And then the other thought I had was, I wonder if there's a way that LAUSD would want to pay for it.
Oh, interesting. You mean the MIT?
Yeah. Does the College of Technical, does the High School of Technical, whatever, need a sustainability teacher? I don't know. It's just a thought as you're doing the rest of your research. I love everything Christine said, and I think that's really important. I just wanted to flag those two things for you.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I had completely been treating them separately, but I love that. And I will, yeah, I really love that. Just to see if it's like even in the world of possibilities. You know what I mean? Yeah, 'cause I
I
know like
mean, there's definitely going to be more money in industries outside of education. So that the LinkedIn process, I think, is really important, but it might be worth just asking.
For sure. I'll ask. I mean, I think she's the closest thing to a mentor I have, the former principal that I work with. I'll ask her because she seems to know a lot about like the whole vendor, you know, contractor deal as a starting point. But I could, because like categorically, LAUSD does not have, they don't have like fully remote employees. So I would, if I did, I would have to come in as a vendor and or a contractor. And you're absolutely right. I need to see like what kind of pension, like what that does to pension. Can you still have all of that? I need to find out. But the merger of the two is a really good idea. Really good idea. So I will ask about that. That's another great assignment. So thank you guys so much.
Yeah, you're
Write
welcome.
some notes as soon as we get off.
Right. Very intriguing journey that you're on.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I really appreciate your help. It feels overwhelming to me, but I mean, I think you just have to like take baby steps, right?
Baby steps. Baby steps. It's Mike Dooley has a quote that I love, and it's, and I'm gonna not get it right, but it's like, baby steps put you in the place where the magic can happen. It's sort of like this. Okay, I will put that, I'll get that. That's not good. It's really good though. Okay, I'll send
No,
that to
they
you.
do.
But
I
it's like the sails, he equates it to the sails of a ship. It's like sails of a ship isn't what moves you ahead, but the sails are what catches the wind. So your baby steps are what allows the universe to help you. Something, but all you need is these little baby steps.
And it leads you to the next place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Great. Thank you so much,
You're
both of you.
welcome. Does anybody else have a 5-minute question to create cash flow, or do we feel complete? Hi, Sheila. Hi, Sarah Fenton.
Hey,
Hey.
yeah, I'm applying to graduate school, which would start in fall of next year. So I'm kind of looking at possibly tutoring. I'm starting doing ADHD coaching, or getting, part-time jobs. And I'm just starting to think of the first baby steps to do. And one idea was to talk to a neighbor who's a high school teacher, just to, I would have to like learn about. I got great grades in school, but I know they teach different. They teach things in a different way now. Like if I were did math with the young kids, so I'm just kind of trying to think of what the first. Maybe I just need to make a list of the initial steps to think about tutoring. I've looked into like, if I'm hired by a local tutoring agency to learn how they do it, then it would be, very low pay. But it's an option.
And you could do it for a month. Like, you don't have to do it forever. But if you wanted to kind of investigate how a tutoring agency does it, you could certainly sniff around. You don't even have to do it, but you could just kind of like, inquire if they're hiring and if they want to talk to you about.
That's true. I guess I tend to be so loyal. I hate the thought of leaving them quickly, or even, starting at a company where in whatever 8 or 9 months I'll be out of there. So.
But you get to do it for, I mean, you get to offer them your services for 8 or 9 months, and they'd be better off. That's what I would always tell employers. I would say in my interviews, like, I don't know how long I'll be with you, but I guarantee you'll be better off for having me. I will leave you better off for having me, no matter how long I happen to stay.
Thank you. That's great perspective. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. So, and you can just approach them and say, look, I'm going to graduate school in the fall. I'm looking to, do this while I'm waiting. Do you have openings? And this is the age group that I would want to work with. And what might I need, what would you need me to know to be able to do it? You can have that investigative conversation with several different agencies just to get the vibe and to see what they would need from you and how they work. And then if you wanted, like, I want my own students so I can charge more and make more money, then it's about going to schools, private schools, charter schools, and being like, hey, do you have, a list of tutors that you recommend when people need them? I can do
Great.
it. Yeah.
Thank
What
you.
kind of age do you want to tutor?
I need to decide that. I love the little kids, but the older kids would be more preparing me probably for my career. So the teens, yeah.
Or your career
Oh,
as.
for I'm going to school to become a counselor,
Yeah.
a therapist.
For who do you want to work with?
Well, people with ADHD is one group, but I'm open to others, and I'm
But you want to work
especially,
with adults or
I don't
teens?
know. I don't know
Oh,
yet, unfortunately. Yeah.
That's not unfortunate. I was just wondering if you
Yeah.
knew. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, in the realm of tutoring, here's what I would say. Tutor wherever, like, I wouldn't worry about, like, well, if I work with teens, it helps me set up for when I counsel, because I might counsel teens. If you're just looking to tutor and make some money, do something that's really easy. Work with the people that are the easiest for you and just let it be easy. Graduate school will prepare you for your job, but let this tutoring gig be like whatever's the most lucrative and easiest. That's how I would go about it.
That sounds good.
So you're not working with the hardest population to tutor. It's like, I don't know, who's going to pay me the most money to tutor them that's easy so that I can save up my time and energy and put it towards the actual grad school work. It's an option.
Great, great thinking.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you
Permission
so much.
let it be
Thank you.
easy. You're very welcome. Always good to see you.
Too.
All right, guys.
Can I share my own kitty cat note?
Oh, I love the kitties.
Today is our 1 year adoptiversary.
Oh, and her name or his name?
Oh, she's Kitten, and Mama is here also, and I adopted them both 1 year ago.
Oh, so they could stay together.
Yes.
I miss having cats so much. So I am living whenever someone's come along the screen. I'm like, oh, I guess that's how people are with kids, but I'm like, cats. All right. Well, thank you for that, Sheila. Made my day.
I was inspired by Denise.
Right? All right. Take good care, everybody. I'll see you in November.
Woo! Thank you, Christine. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks,
Great
Kate.
questions.
Take good care.